I have seen conflicting reports on the weather, but you live in Ohio, you're going to get conflicting reports on the weather. That's just the way it works. You know how I usually tell what weather we have? I look outside. I mean, what are you going to do about it? Okay, I know snow's coming. You move my house? I mean, put an umbrella over my house? What are you going to do? You're going to get snow. That's the way it works. So you got to be smart, I guess. But anyways, whatever. In Esther, we are going to talk about the characters of Esther first, the important ones anyhow. And if you've never taken time to read the book of Esther, it's an interesting book. We'll get into what it is, but it's amazing the arrogance of men. Men have this innate desire to be arrogant. They have this innate desire, it's like they're born with it, that they are so very big, powerful, good. And it's amazing how easily women can change that. And if you look at the book of Esther, it's so very thankful that there were righteous ladies in the midst of all this male stupidity. These righteous ladies helped to set things correct. And the book of Esther shows that it's good to stand up for that which is right. And if you look at the characters, you've got King Ahasuerus. Now, I don't know if I said that right, but he ought not have his name spelled that way anyhow. King Ahasuerus, he is a king of a vast, vast empire. Now, we'll see all this as we read together and go through these chapters, but he is the king of a vast empire. It stretches a long, long ways, all the way from India, all the way into the his outer border. You'll see all this in a minute, but he has a vast empire. Decent king, but this is what he is. And if you look at this, he is who he's hanging out with. And when we go over this, I want you to see that this king is a king that lets other folks make decisions for him, right or wrong. And folks, I want you to understand this, and why I've always preached that you ought to have your own faith. I'm not talking about a different faith, but you cannot rely on the people around you to have faith for you. You cannot rely on the people around you to have righteousness for you. Yes, it could work some of the time. Yes, it could work for half of the time. But it's not going to work for all of the time. And there's got to be some time in your life where you come to the decision in your heart that this is right and this is what I'm going to do because it's right. And I'm going to do it because it's right, not because Pastor Skyver's going to do it because it's right. I'm going to do it because this is what the Bible says and this is right. And King Ahasuerus, in my opinion, is a chameleon. He is who he is, depending on who's in the room. And that's not a good person to be. Then his queen at the very beginning of this book is Vashti, or Vashti, or whatever, however you pronounce her name. She was the queen to Ahasuerus. She was a righteous lady as well. And you'll see here in a minute how she was righteous. Then you've got Memucan. There's several princes mentioned, but this Memucan is a prince that condemned Vashti because she was righteous, and she made a decision not to do that which was wrong, and Memucan condemned her for it. And he was one of those fellows that the king is around, and he does what Memucan says. You know, in my opinion, you don't have to do what other people say just because other people say it. Amen? And he was the king. The king could have decided to not do that. But he didn't. He went along with him. Then there's Mordecai, who was a Jewish man. This man was hated by this fellow named Haman. He was the uncle to Esther. Haman was this high prince. He is second to the king. Haman was a guy that he wanted power of his own. And he didn't want to have to answer for any of it, but he wanted power of his own. And then Esther was queen to Ahasuerus. After Vashti's departure, good queen, and niece to this Mordecai. So these are the main players in this book of Esther, the main people that are involved. An overview of the book, if you think about it, if you've ever read this book, you understand. Ahasuerus starts out king. Vashti is his queen. Later on, Vashti gets condemned. Esther takes over after a search of pretty ladies. It's about what it was. Esther takes over as queen. Esther decides to save her people from this wicked man Haman that decides because they wouldn't give him his just due because he was such a great guy. Because they didn't give him that, he decides to condemn all the people, tricks the king into signing this decree. He signs this decree, starts going after the Jewish people, And this queen just stands for righteousness. This Queen Esther stands for righteousness and things of God. And because she stood, because she did right in the face of all this, face of certain death, literally Esther was facing certain death to stand for righteousness. And because she did that, she was able to change the nature of the way the king felt about the Hebrew people. So this is a great book, an interesting book, and showing especially, and you ladies need to hear this, you don't need a man to stand for right. And this may not go, well, the man's a spiritual leader. That doesn't mean you can't stand for right. Ladies, you need to stand for right. Even if your husband's doing wrong, you need to stand for right. Men, you ought not do wrong. It's not like now, okay, well, Pastor Dave said I can go off and do wrong. My wife's now responsible for herself. No, you should still be leading the house. You should still be being spiritual. You should still be doing the things you ought to do. But ladies, you need to understand that you need to have righteousness too. You need to stand for that righteousness in the face of certain problems or issues that would come up. You still need to stand for righteousness. So let's look at this, Esther chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne in his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants and the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 84 days. Can you see the man here? This king is, what's he doing? He's showing off. That is exactly what he's doing. He has, in his mind, earned the right to show how really cool he is, okay? He decides for 180 days to have a party glorifying himself. If one day wasn't enough, we'll go ahead and have 180 days to show how really great I am, okay? Now understand this, we know in the Bible that all kings are put in authority by God. So Ahasuerus has nothing of his own. God has put him here. God has given him his kingdom. From India, do you know where India is on a map? All the way to Ethiopia? That's in Africa. That is a ginormous piece of land. And he's the ruler of all this. He invites all of his buddies from all of these provinces to come to this grand banquet that literally is showing off himself, okay? Come see how great I am, all right? Now, if you look at this, when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days, a 7-day potluck. I'm going to tell you, that's a long dinner. 7 days? In the court of the garden of the king's palace. How big is that court, by the way, if you think about how many people were there? How big is this dinner? And how big is this court of this palace? Okay? Where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and of silver, upon a pavement of red, blue, and white, and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. The drinking was according to the law. Really? None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. They had a drinking fest for 7 days in this guy's backyard to show off his greatness. Can you sum this up any other way? This king is excited to bring all his buddies. Let's get wasted at my house. Is that not true? Okay? Why? Because I'm so cool. Because I'm so great. I am the great. Ahasuerus. Also, and this is where you start to see righteousness. Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he was drunk. Right? Was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha. If I was named Bigtha, I mean, that could currently be my name. I'd have to change that to Thintha or something. Bigtha, that's a rough name. Thank you, Mama. Son of Bigtha. It's like son of Baconator. And Abagtha, Zithar, and Carcass. How would you like to be named Carcass? Oh, well. The seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty. For she was fair to look on. What's he doing? Think about this, ladies. What's he doing to his queen, his bride? He's drunk. All his buddies are drunk. They're all sitting around the table drunk. Everybody in the whole place is drunk. They've drank according to their pleasure for 7 days. He says, queen, come. I want you to show off your beauty. This is how pretty my queen is. And he wants to show this off in front of all these people. Now listen, if you don't do what the king asks you to do, what happens? You die. It's not an in-between here. The king reigns supreme, and if you don't do what you're asked to do, I'm going to tell you right now, you are told that you are going to die, and you will die. So Vashti takes this. She says, wait, are you serious? See, I like this. I like this not because it shows insolence to the man. What it shows is very, very simply, I'm not going to do that which is wrong. I'm taking a stand upon that which is right, and I'm not going to do that which is wrong. On the seventh day, he got all these people together, and they want the queen to be brought before. But the queen Vashti, verse 12, refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. He is hot. He's the king. He's got this vast domain. All these people are here. I want to show off my wife, and I want to show, by the way, he's not showing off her vocabulary. He's not showing off her righteousness. He wants to show off what she looks like. And when people are drunk, you take in your mind what you think that they wanted Vashti to do. The king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next to him was Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Miris, Marsena, and Memucan. The seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat the first in the kingdom, what shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? What shall we do unto her? She is going against what I'm saying. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. So he's taking it personal. Is that right? I'm just reading along. He's saying that, king, because this woman hath decided to go against you, she's also going against all of us. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad to all women. Oh my goodness. I love this statement. It's one of my favorite things in the whole book. I love men. They're awesome. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. Oh my goodness, the ladies are going to hear that this woman did not do what her man commanded, and it was wrong what he commanded. All the ladies are going to uprise and start to do right. We can't have a bunch of ladies doing right. If they do right, then what can we do? If they do right, how can we go to the bar if our ladies are doing right? How can we look at pornography if our ladies are doing right? How can we do all these things if the ladies are doing right? Well, let me tell you something, ladies. I think you ought to do right. You say, well, I don't know. Should I go against my husband? Should you go against your husband and do right? See, that's a tough decision, isn't it? A tough decision to make because it doesn't bode well for your household. It doesn't bode well for those that are around you. But at the end of the day, and by the way, I'm talking scripturally right. I'm not talking what you think is right, ladies. I'm not talking what you think is right. I'm talking what is scripturally right. Because I got to be honest with you. Do you realize that men don't always have the right answer? I mean, some of you ladies know that better than... Your husband doesn't always have the right answer. But ladies, there are times when it is right for you to stand for that which is right. There is times for you to stand for that which is godly, for that which is righteous. Presenting yourself before a drunken party is not righteous. Vashti, who it does not even say was a saved lady, it does not even say anything spiritually about her. She just was not going to show her body off before all these men. She's not going to do it. And what's amazing is the men's attitude was, well, we better punish her because other ladies will start to do right. We better punish her because if this lady does right, then all the other ladies are going to start to do right. And if they start to do right, we're going to look like fools. Here's the problem. The problem isn't the ladies doing right. The problem is the men were doing wrong. I got to be honest with you. If I continue to do right and I try to live a righteous life, my wife and I are not going to have a lot of fights. My wife is not going to have to stand up and say, you know what, you're doing wrong if I'm doing right. I know this isn't real popular right now. Either you're sleeping or you're not happy. But this is the truth. Ladies, you cannot say, well, my husband won't do it, so I'm going to do wrong too. That's not the way you should do. You should still try your very best to be righteous, even in your households, even your households are doing wrong. You should do your best to do right. I worry because a lot of preachers say, oh, you got to do everything that your husband says. I don't agree with all that. You ladies ought to know what's right. You ought to know what's righteous, and you ought to very, very much pray to the God of heaven that your husband turns his heart back to righteousness. But in your heart, you ought to try to do righteousness too. That's not easy. That's not easy. And I'm going to tell you with all my heart, what's amazing about men, they worry. Oh, man, look, think about these Chamberlains and what they're doing. Get a group of guys together, okay? And by the way, I'm going to have to get out the marriage book eventually on this, but understand this. Guys don't rule the roost just to be the rooster, okay? When you talk about marriage, the Bible speaks of not a 50-50. I never see that anywhere in the Bible. What I see in the Bible is that you sacrifice one to another. In other words, it's 100%, 100%. What happens when you get a group of guys together, they want to act as though they have the power in their household. And I don't know why this is, but it's just the way it seems to work out. They want to act like they have the power in their household. And we joke about this a lot, but in all honesty, we try to do what the ladies want because it keeps peace sometimes, right? Now, understand this. As men, we are commanded to love our wives as queens. We are commanded to take care of our wives like queens, right? A king does not parade their wife in front of people to look upon her and be a good king. She would not do that if she's a good queen. That's what we're seeing here. Now, if you think about the way your marriage is, your marriage needs to be 100%, 100%. We're going together in the way of righteousness. It's not going together in wrong directions. It's going together towards things of righteousness. This is not easy preaching, but this is the truth. If you want your family to go in the right direction, then you must inherently go in the direction that is right. I know that's profound. I understand how simple that is. But when couples are going in opposite directions, you're not going to go in the right direction. If the man decides, well, I'm going to go ahead and lead my house in the way of righteousness, you have a much better opportunity to have your house go in the way of righteousness. But ladies, that does not exempt you from the fact that you yourself ought to go towards the way of righteousness. Does not exempt you from that. You can't use your husband as a crutch to say, I'll just stay home. My husband decided he's going to stay home from church, I'm going to stay home from church. I disagree with that thought process that you must stay home from church because your husband says you must stay home from church. I disagree with that. I think that you still should serve God and do the best that you can, not going against your husband, but understanding that you should do what God has asked you to do in the way of righteousness, not in the way that you think is right. See, here the king is telling her by order, by command. And by the way, if she doesn't do what she is supposed to do, she is in fear of death. She doesn't get death, but she is in fear of death. And she still stands for that which is right. She still stands for that which is good. She still stands for that which is holy. And I don't even know if she's a holy lady, but she still stands for that which is holy. See, ladies, we've lost, in America today, we've lost the thought of ladies. We've lost the thought of ladies. We've come to the grips of the fact that ladies are now part of the workforce. Not against that. But we've likened ladies to be equal with men. And ladies, you've taken a demotion. Well, the Bible says we're the weaker vessel. I don't like that talk. Equality. That's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying that you've been afforded the opportunity to be held higher by the men that are around you. I should care more to take care of my wife's needs. I should care more, and I don't do it all the time. You can say, take it for what it's worth. Men fail. I'm the first one to raise my hand that I fail. But I should be more desiring to take care of Tammy's needs. I should be more of protecting her. I should be more of leading our family in the way of righteousness and spirituality. Why? Because I love my wife and I want her to be held high. Boy, this is so unpopular. I'm surprised I'm getting any amens because most women will look at me with a stink eye saying, no, I will be Rosie the Riveter. I am man. Well, whoa. That was good. Pretty corny. In a right Bible relationship, what the Bible says, the man is supposed to take care of the lady, but they're supposed to work together in your household. Listen, do you think, yes, I have... My wife is submissive to me. If I say something, she will go with it. But understand this, that's not the way my household runs. My household runs, if she says something that she desires as her husband, I want it to happen, okay? It's amazing how men get into this portion of their minds, and as you see it here in Esther, well, bless God if she goes against her husband here, and her husband wants her to do filth. If she's against her husband, all the women are going to be against their husbands. Well, I'm going to tell you, ladies, if all of your husbands ask you to start parading yourself in front of their drunk buddies, I think you ought to be against that. And ladies have such a great and wondrous power in this country. They have such a great and wondrous power in their households. They have a great power not to run the place, but it's an even thought. In my house, it is an absolute dictatorship. There are no votes. Except from my wife. My wife has a vote in my house. If she doesn't like it, I'm going to have to consider, why doesn't she like it? Because she's my wife. She ought to have say. I don't walk in and say, this is what we're doing, woman. God bless it, this is what you're going to do because I'm the man. And you know that's the way King Ahasuerus is treating this right now. Vashti, the queen, come before me this instant because I am the king and the man. You will do that. Men, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want broken noses and black eyes, go ahead and start treating your wife that way. By the way, let me help you. There are men that do that. There are men that do that. And they're little punks in my eyes. And if you are one, I'm calling you a punk right here today. If you want to treat your wife like a welcome mat, you're a punk. You really are. I got to be honest with you. Every marriage is set up different, but one thing remains. We've missed it. When Christ says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If you could stake your entire married relationship on that one verse, and this is for the men. See, you thought I was going to be against the women today, but this is for the men. I get a little bit tired of all the time having it be the women that have to do the right. I get a little bit tired of that. Let me explain something to you. If you love your wife as the Bible tells you to, now if you don't agree with the Bible, take it up with Jesus because he kind of wrote it. But if you look at the Bible says that you should be willing to give your life for your wife. You should be willing to do whatever it takes to have a happy relationship going towards the things of God. Now, yes, I fail. I fail miserably a lot. But I'm so thankful that we have a relationship, at least in my opinion, we have a relationship that at least wants to go towards the things of God. And I don't ever want my wife to live in a place where she has to make the righteous decisions. I don't want my wife to live in a place where she has to stand against me to go to church, or she has to stand against me to do the things that are right, or she has to stand against me to pay the tither. She has to stand against me to do the things that God wants. I want us together to be facing the things of God and go forward together doing them. That shouldn't be a decision she has to make. But if she had to make it, I pray, and I know that she would, make the decision to go in the right direction. See, I'm very thankful that we have ladies that are willing to do that, that are willing to search the things of God, that are willing to go forward. But let me explain something to you. The reason that this is such a good book to know and a good book to see is there are wrong relationships today in our churches that people aren't willing to face, they aren't willing to talk about, they aren't willing to strive for right. Why? Because they don't want to do right. There are wrong relationships in churches today that nobody ever wants to talk. Well, don't talk about my marriage. Stay out of my house. Well, let me explain something to you. God wants to be in your house. You kicked God out. Well, I didn't come to church for this. What's sad is it's never talked about anymore. My wife will verify that I don't do everything right. Believe me. But at the very same time, she will also verify that I do my best to do right. And it's my job to do that. But if I don't, I promise you she would. Do her best to do right. And I don't want to have a church full of people that are unwilling to face, hey, you know what? You're not doing right. Amen? I mean, do you want Joel Osteen up here, or do you want somebody that's willing to say, hey, listen, should we not talk about this? Should this not be brought up? Here's the queen standing against her husband. It's never right to stand against your husband. Be very careful. Be very careful. I don't know a whole lot of men that tell their wives point blank that they can't come to church. I don't know too many. But I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes to things of God, I believe God should come first. I really do. And it's difficult. That's horrible. It's so hard. That is one of the worst things in the whole wide world when you've got a house split over righteousness and unrighteousness. It's not an easy thing. It's not something that you can dogmatically from the pulpit say and everyone will start to do it. It's got to be something that you talk about and search out and work hard to understand this is why we do what we do. Did you know marriage isn't solved in a 10-minute Sunday school lesson? My wife and I are going to be married for 20 years. I'm going to tell you, we do not have it all figured out yet. There are still moments of fighting, moments of distress, moments of things that happen like that. But I'm going to tell you right now, by and large, we do our very best to try to honor God with our lives. The ignorance of man comes forward, and sadly enough, we live in a society today where women are usurping the authority that the Bible has given the men, but on the other hand, men are letting it go freely and not even wanting to have that authority anymore. We seem like we're surrounded by a room full of chickens anymore. They don't want to stand for that which is right. Queen Vashti in verse 12 refused to come. This man puts forward this thing saying she's done wrong to all of us men. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women. And if you look at verse 19, if it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before the king. Let's kick her out. We'll find a lady that will obey. Because see, that's in our vows. She needs to obey me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm the king. She needs to obey. And let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. I'm going to tell you right now, Vashti was a pretty good woman. I don't know a whole lot about her, but I know she stood for right. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great. By the way, this guy is talking to the king. He's telling the king this. Why? To butter him up. All the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And I think you ought to give your husbands honor, but I think you ought to stand for right. And the saying pleased the king and the princes. And the king did according to the word of Memucan. You know, guys, and I'm going to stop right here because I know where, well, maybe I'll stop. When, Brother Phil, I'm going to use you. You're kind of newly married. If Marlena has an issue with something you're doing, do you think that Marlena having that issue with something you're doing, do you think she wants you to fail and that's why she's bringing this issue to you? Now, men, I want you to think with me, okay? Think with me. Why do you tell your kids that they're doing something wrong? Do you tell them they're doing something wrong to ruin their whole day? Is that why you do it? Do you tell them that they're doing something, or do you punish them? Do you try to get them to see, well, I want you to fail, child, so that I want you the worst for you. That's what I want. I want the worst for you, child. That's why I'm telling you these bad things. Let me tell you, if my wife is coming to me telling me something, okay, and there's, you know, I'll hush up, okay? That lasts for 2 seconds. But if she's coming, do you think she's coming to me, Brother Jordan, because she wants our house to fail? I mean, come on, think with me for a moment. Do you think that the lady that you're with, in a good marriage, your wife wants you to go forward? She doesn't want you to go backwards, right? And if she's got this issue, and if a man will sit and think for 7 seconds or less, you act like, well, you're emasculating the men today. No, I want you to be men. No, I want you to be men. See, that's wrong. I'm not taking that away from you. I want you to be men. I want men to be here today. We are missing the men, and we're missing the ladies because they're having to take the position of the men. We should not have a nation filled with ladies that have to take the position of men. We ought to have men that want to take the position of men. And here we are looking at this, trying to realize, my wife says something that she wants and I don't want it. Don't watch football all Sunday. Why is she telling you that? Maybe she wants you to read your Bible. Well, I'm not saying football is a bad thing. But if we see in our relationship that that is taking over a portion of the relationship that ought not be being taken over, don't you think that maybe we ought to listen to one another a little? Don't you think that we ought to listen to what is being said? Don't you think God, if God gave you your wife and God gave you that wonderful completer that you have in your life, don't you think that you ought to listen to that wonderful gift that God gave you just to see what she's trying to say? The king here would have saved a lot of heartache for himself and for Vashti if he would have just listened to what she had to say. What now, did she say it to him? No, but her action spoke pretty loud. Come parade yourself in front of the drunk people. No, I'm not going to do that. Why is she not going to do that? So her buddies get around. Throw another broad on the grill, buddy. Pass me over a beer. Throw her out, king. Let's pick up another one. Throw her out, king. Let's get us another woman. If she won't listen to you, kick her to the curb. Am I taking anything away from that is what's happening here. If my wife is upset with something that I'm doing, maybe I ought to stop and think about why she's upset. Instead of, I don't care that she's upset. I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm the man. No, you're a punk. A man wants to listen, at least a little bit. A man wants, why wouldn't you want to hear? It's like your kids, clean up your room. You know you heard me. Don't you think that together, Miss Darlene, don't you and Mike want to succeed for the Lord? If you tell Brother Mike something, and you're not always going to agree, amen? But don't you think, Brother Mike, if she's got something to tell you, that you ought to review what's happening, right? Why is she telling me this? Because Vashti is taking a great risk. How many in here love to fight with their spouse? Okay? She's taking a great risk. My wife would take a great risk in having this grand argument if she was coming to me with something wrong. We have grand arguments. We do, whatever. I mean, what? I'm so glad you don't. I'm so glad that your household is always perfect, but we have grand arguments. Okay? Knockdown dragouts are wonderful. Okay? Whatever. I mean, I don't, whatever. I don't care what you, that means nothing to me. Marriages are, everybody's different. I love people that come to me, we never fight. You never tell truth either, I'll tell you that. We never fight. Do you ever see each other? But I'm going to tell you this, at the end of the day, we come together on what needs to be done. Amen? Here, he says, go away from me. I'll just get me another one. Does that sound righteous to you? Huh? The king is the one that's wrong here. Would you not agree? The woman is the one that's right here. Would you not agree? The woman gets exiled for what she knows is right. She stands for what is right. The book is not written about Vashti. Did you know that? Vashti's gone in the second or third chapter. She's no more around. Why? Because he listened to his brat eating, beer drinking buddies. If you, listen, let me help you. Boy, this is good. I didn't have any of this planned. Hope your marriages are doing well. If you sit around and listen to your brat eating, beer drinking buddies, your wife's going to be gone too. I'll amen myself. Amen! I'm not interested in what the other guys do. I'm interested in what I do in my family because why? Because I've been given a great responsibility to lead my family spiritually towards the things of Jesus Christ. Why are you bringing all this up? I have no idea. You need to check yourselves because I'm going to tell you, marriage is a very difficult thing. When you bring two sinners together, try to figure out what's right and going towards the things of God, the devil knows all about that and he wants to split that up as quick as possible. And here we are studying a woman doing right and the man kicking her out because the man listened to those around him. Did he ever listen to Vashti? Did he ever ask why? Huh? Did Vashti ever get to plead her case? No. I don't want to parade myself in front of your drunk buddies. She never got to say that. She just got kicked out. I don't know why in the world we don't understand as a family, as a couple, as being married, that do you realize that you've got a greater responsibility towards the things of God just in being an example to others? Phil, if you and Marlena can stay together, and in this world today, do you know the divorce rate's falling? Did you know that? Well, that's great. Obama did it. Do you know why the divorce rate's falling? Because nobody's getting married anymore. Now, if you can stay married, if you can stay going towards the things of God, keep yourself in church, keep you doing the right things, pray, read your Bible, do those things, you become an example of the things of God. An example that kids in these rows can look towards and say, hey, listen, that's too great a responsibility. It's a wonderful responsibility. You can stay married. You can beat the odds. You can go against the world. You can say, I'm going to stay together. I'm not going to kick her to the curb because my buddies think I ought to. I'm going to stay married. Hey, by the way, do you know your buddies don't live with you? And if they do, God help your soul. When you get married, everybody else gets kicked out. I hope, did I have to say that to anybody? If you get married, kick everyone else out. Kids are coming, you ain't got room. And I'm going to tell you this right now, if you can stay together, and you will beat the odds and show people, do you know what, it's still right to do what we do. We live in a society today where it's easier to kick her out and get you another one. When Walmart is selling divorce documents. Yeah. Who needs a lawyer? Divorce documents. When a prenup comes right after the license or right before the license, isn't there a problem? I avoided all that. When I got married, I had debt. She split that with me all these years, that debt. No, hey, please sign the prenup. Take all my debt. I'm going to tell you right now, but the arrogance of men, and this ain't popular, I don't care, whatever. The arrogance of men, the arrogance of Christians to believe that they can do this without the Lord, can do these things and have no need of righteousness, have no need of God. No wonder our country is in such a state. You want to fix the things of God, fix the houses of God. Fix the families of God. And by the way, you're not going to fix the families of God by throwing money at them. You're not going to fix the things of God and the houses of God by making government programs. Do you know what you're going to do? You're going to fix the things of God by doing the things of God and serving God. That's how you're going to do it. And you can't sugarcoat any of that. That has to be how it is, or it's going to be an unhappy household. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, please help us as we study this book of Esther and see the righteousness of ladies standing for the things of God in the face of all opposition. Lord God, help us as men. Help us as men not to have to put our ladies through that. Help us as men to see things differently, to come to the realization of how great marriage is and how great living in a society of the things of God can be. And help us to understand that, God, we can still do that today. We still can have a wife from the time that we get married to the time that we die. We can have one wife. And, Lord, please help us to see that those are the things that we ought to be doing, standing together for the things of right. I know that this is not talked about much, Lord. It's one of those things that, oh, we don't want to talk about because we don't want to expose that our households may be flawed. Well, I got news for you, God. Every household is flawed. Every household is flawed because they're filled with sinners. And Lord, we've got to give our lives and our marriages to you so you can control the ship, so you can control the boat, so you can guide and direct us in the things of right. Help the men that are here today, Lord, to see that it is their job to follow God wholly, to follow God with their lives, to make their households run better. Oh God, please don't let this teaching come across as brash. Don't let this teaching come across as something that's not needed. This is something that's needed today in every household, from old to young. Every household needs this kind of teaching, needs this kind of scripture. Oh God, please help us to do those things which are right so we can have successful homes, so our children can see that the house can be successful. Lord, help us today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.